This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
Accountability. We're about to have a little discussion about that. Sports. Hold on. Even if you're not a sports person, I'm going to tell you why the leftism of sports actually matters a lot. And finally, a life hack you're going to want. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. I'm big on accountability. I mean, for everybody else, not for me, of course, but I'm very big on accountability. I've got two sons. They're fairly good kids, as in the, you know, probably not going to get into any colleges, but they'll hopefully live long, kind of good kids. But sometimes they don't listen, as young boys who are growing up tend to do. Now, we keep them disciplined in the house, but for instance, I send them out to do chores outside all the time. Various things. Some work around the yard, take out the trash, go get the mail. My boys, because they are heathens, hate shoes. I don't know why they hate shoes. I didn't raise them to hate shoes. I love shoes. I have shoes on right now and pants, not to brag. But my kids hate shoes. They hate them. They won't wear them. And they continue to go a long way. Our mailbox is a long ways off to go get the mail and come back. Well, these are roads, sidewalks. There's construction everywhere. There's broken glass. People drink beer in my neighborhood. There are nails, staples, everything on the ground. And I've told them time after time after time after time, wear shoes to get the mail. Wear shoes to get the mail. Wear shoes. You're going to get a nail through your foot. Wear shoes. Finally, they did it again. Ran, got the mail, came back. I looked. They're both barefoot. And I just pulled them over and I told them, all right, understand this. I don't care anymore that you're not going to wear shoes. Forget the shoes. But you need to understand. The day, when the day comes that you come back to me and your foot is gushing blood, I'm not going to care. I'm not going to show sympathy. You're going to find a way to wrap up your foot so it doesn't bleed in my pickup truck. I'm going to take you to the hospital, get you fixed up, and then you are going to work your tail off to pay me back every single dime that medical visit costs. You know why? You know why I said that to him? Because it is important that we have accountability in this life for our mistakes. Your mistakes, my mistakes, accountability is everything. And somehow, as a society, as a culture in America, we've lost that. I'm sure there are a million and one reasons for it. I'm sure one of them is the new social media age, where you can have the biggest outrage in the world, and the next day you wake up and, the world's closed, the world's coming to an end. So I'd like to pause for a moment and reflect back on the lockdowns and what that has meant for our society. You see, I'm not going to do this thing where I'm just going to forget about everything. Forget about what this person did. Forget about what that person did. Forget about what this person advised. I'm not here to judge anybody, but are we going to address the mental health crisis in the United States of America? Do you know there are people all over the nation, people on suicide hotlines, national, state, and local suicide hotlines, that say their offices have been overwhelmed and continue to be overwhelmed because of the lockdowns? You know, psychiatrists and psychologists have been screaming from the rooftops from the beginning, and now this is increasing, that we need to get people back out into society again because of the lockdowns. Are we really supposed to pretend? Look around you at the last month, month and a half. Anarchy in this society. Looting, rioting, burning, murdering. Are we really supposed to pretend all this newfound anger and hatred of America just came out of thin air? That had nothing to do with taking people, normal people, some people unbalanced, some people right on the edge, taking away their job, stuffing them in their homes and saying, stay there? Are we going to pretend that it doesn't have a devastating effect on society that we're now seeing the fruits of, to tell people you are not allowed to commingle anymore? You're not allowed to hang out with your friends. You're not allowed to go out to a bar. Not allowed to go out to a restaurant with the fam. You are not allowed to attend your mother's funeral to properly mourn with family and friends. You're not allowed to go to church. Are we supposed to sit back and pretend that all this craziness we see now didn't have anything to do with locking down a country of 330 million healthy people? I won't pretend that. I think that is flatly absurd. And I want somebody, just give me one person. I want one person who has the guts, who was all pro-lockdown this, stay home that, hide under your bed that. I want one honest person to step up and say, look, maybe I was wrong. Maybe we're seeing some really, really, really ugly stuff come out of these lockdowns. And maybe, just health-wise, maybe lockdowns are bad. Maybe lockdowns are bad medicine. Are we allowed to say that? Well, I'm a doctor. You're a doctor? You're a doctor, so you're supposed to know how the human body, the human mind works? Well, that's funny because I'm an idiot. I was in construction and then the Marines and then I went to community college. I don't know anything, and even I know the human mind needs fresh air, exercise, social interaction. The human mind needs a job, needs a purpose in life. And you, as a doctor, you thought you could take all those away without severe consequences? Oh, and did I mention kids? Again, back to my kids. I got two good kids, strong kids. We raise them, you know, no whining, things like that. I've seen this affect my kids. They're not losing their minds. We're not pouring pills down their throat or anything like that, but I've seen it affect my kids. My kids need social interaction. My kids need to go out in schools, athletic activities. My kids need to be able to go out, talk with other people, and those are my kids. Those are kids who are raised in a loving household. Granted, as you can imagine, I'm not father of the year. They got two parents that love them in the home. Now, that's my kids. What about all the kids from a disastrous home, a broken home, kids who have real mental health issues or are stuck with a parent or guardian with real mental health issues? What have we done to those kids? How much have we permanently damaged those poor kids? for all the talk we do in this country about it's about the kids, it's about the children, kids, kids, kids. How often have you even seen kids mentioned during all this? Because these kids are stuck and these kids are suffering. I can get in my truck and take a drive, go grab a six-pack, come home, go sit in my room. My kids can't drive anywhere, can't do anything. My kids are stuck. And again, that's my kids. Tough situation out there. Schools had better be open. These freaking kids aren't even vulnerable. Get these kids back in school. Or get homeschooling rolled up again, which wouldn't be bad. President Trump seems to be on board, at least that's what we can glean from this tweet, says, quote, schools must open in the fall. And he put it in all capital letters, so we knew he absolutely meant it. Trump said something else. Corrupt Joe Biden and the Democrats don't want to open schools in the fall for political reasons, not for health reasons. They think it will help them in November. Wrong. The people get it. Let us hope the people get it. Now, Dr. Fauci has caught a lot of crap throughout all this. I've been one of the ones giving it to him throughout all this. I think he got himself a little too in love with the spotlight, and I think he's probably a man, as many doctors are, let's be honest, probably not a man willing to step up and say, I got some of that wrong. However, he got this right.
There are things that can creatively be done about modifying things like the school schedule, alternate days, morning versus evening, allowing under certain circumstances online virtual lessons. Those are the kind of things that we need to consider, but also importantly, always make the goal that it is very important to get the children back to school for the unintended negative consequences that occur when we keep them out of school.
Well, he's right about that, but I have to say, man, unintended negative consequences. It is interesting to hear him concerned about that now, after we wiped out 40 million jobs and running up a $4-5 trillion deficit in 1 year. Trump administration official says they're working to open schools. Quote, the CDC never recommended school closures because they didn't believe that was an effective strategy, the official continued. But these decisions are local decisions, and our goal is to work hand in hand with the local jurisdictions to make sure they see the best ways to reopen schools in a safe way and to get back where we would have really preferred to have been in the spring, which is to have an active educational component available to the students. Florida, state that's looking increasingly like one I'm about to move to, they're all about this. Quote, upon reopening in August, all school boards and charter school governing boards must open brick-and-mortar schools at least 5 days per week for all students. School districts must also provide, quote, the full array of services that are required by law so that families who wish to educate their children in a brick-and-mortar school have the opportunity to do so. Get these kids back in school, back to interacting again. And again, let me circle back to unintended consequences. You know what's pushing so much of this. I'm not sure about school. Should we homeschool? Let's just virtual school it. And this is going to be offensive to so many, but I don't care. These suburban tyrant soccer moms out there who live and die to make sure little Billy gets in his bubble at all times. And oh my gosh, he scraped his knee. Let's get him on life support. I heard there's danger. These tyrant suburban soccer moms who think their little Billy should be in a bubble, they're ruining this society. I've watched it happening locally in my town as well. Schools want to reopen, schools about reopening, and all it takes is 5 or 6 horrific Karens to go beating down the door and talk about how young Hayden or Braden or Caden shouldn't be going back to school. Then put your kid in a bubble and put him out in the middle of the ocean so nothing ever happens. The rest of society must go on. All of that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, you know what else should make you uncomfortable? If you have all your money in stocks and bonds, why do you have all your money in stocks and bonds right now? Do we really need to lay out for you again the financial situation in this country? I realize it's not big news right now. Nobody wants to talk about it, but
Is it ever big news until that bubble pops? We all know that bubble's going to pop. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When it does, the people who have their money in things that hold their value, like precious metals, they're going to be fine. Go find out about a precious metals IRA from Birch Gold. Go to birchgold.com/Jesse. Go there today. Just get a free kit and get yourself informed. We'll be back. We're going to talk about sports and society, sports and its relationship to society for just a moment. And I know many of you are sports fans. Some of you may not be sports fans, and that's fine. It's not going to matter whether you are or not for the purpose of this conversation. But understand this. You as a human being, you need to, absolutely need to, have some form of an escape in your life, don't you? You need to have some time off, even if you're one of these people who works 9,000 hours a week. You need something at the end of that. You undoubtedly do, whether that something is some fishing, golf, baseball, football, time with the kids, whether you play chess, whether you do anything else. You have something, some way to get away, some outlet to get away. That's important for you as a person. It's important for society at large as well. Cultures can't only be work. They can't be. Cultures have to be distracted now and then, a vacation, a getaway. You just absolutely have to now and again. So that's why sports matter so much in America. And it's not as if that's unique to our culture. Throughout the history of the world, cultures have loved sports. The Roman gladiatorial games. We don't like to think about them that way because they were bloody and violent. And there were some Christians murdered there, and animals, and prisoners, and torture, and death, and it's not exactly what you and I like to think of when it comes to sports. Still more entertaining than women's basketball, but that's another matter. But it still was their sport for their day. And they knew, you know, when the emperors put on those gladiatorial games all the time, they put on the games when the people were upset, when there was tension, when there was riots, because they knew the people needed something to get themselves away. Forever in the United States of America, that has been sports. I understand why sports has gone this way of leftist activism. It's a couple different reasons. One, the leftist activists of yesteryear, who we all convinced ourselves were going to change as soon as they left college campus. Well, they didn't change. Now they're in boardrooms. Now they have meetings. These huge corporations, they get around together and they have meetings and say, Well, forget about profits. What have we done to help gay people today? Now, that may seem ridiculous for you, for a corporate, I mean, who would talk about that in a corporate board meeting? Isn't that a separate issue? We're here to talk about profits and losses and things like that. These are the meetings they have today. So that's part of it. Another part of it is this Black Lives Matter infection throughout sports that has gotten to everybody who don't realize this is a leftist Marxist front group. It's not about equality. It's about black supremacy. It's about left supremacy. It's about domination. So all that's part of it. All that has resulted in athletes only speaking out to one side of the issue. Have you ever noticed that you never get the professional athlete anymore, ever, to come out and speak about an issue on the right that he's passionate about? Ever. Drew Brees, you remember Drew Brees? Drew Brees put out a video that was the most benign red, white, and blue God Bless America video anyone's ever seen. Not Republican, not Democrat. He talked about his grandfather's fighting in World War II. I love the flag. Have a good one, everybody. The dude had to issue about 9 dozen public apologies for it. That's not even on the right. That's down the middle. Unless you're an America hater, you don't even get to speak publicly now. And the reason all this matters is this. You're taking away the American's ability to feel like there's an escape. Everyone needs an escape. Even you political hounds, you need an escape from it, don't you? I'll be honest with you, I do. I have a 3-hour radio show every day, the Jesse Kelly Show, not to brag, nationally syndicated. I have this every single night. I'm right. That's 4 hours of talking politics every day. You know what I talk about when I walk into my neighbor's house on a Friday night? I say, hey, pass me a Bud Heavy. Let's go play some cornhole and talk about sports. anything else but politics? No, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I need an escape. You need an escape. The reason this leftist push in sports is so damaging, so much more damaging than even you realize, is sports have always been that escape. I want to sit back on a Sunday and turn on the TV, and I want to watch giants who run a 40 in 2 seconds smash into each other and rip each other's heads off. And I want to see competition. I want to see greatness. I want to see all of it. I want to see all of it. You know what I don't want to see? Any political message. Not on your side, not on my side. I just want to watch you play sports. And so many people out there, that's all they want. That's my 3 hours away during the week. I just want to watch you play sports. And especially now, when politics has infected everything else. You can't watch TV. You can't watch a television commercial. You're getting Black Lives Matter waterboarding you every 5 seconds. Can I just have a football game? Well, the answer is no. No, you can't. You can't have NASCAR. You can't have a football game. You can't have professional baseball. You can't have the NBA. And leftists aren't ever going to let you have them again. I know that's bad news for you. I'm depressed about it. I want to play fantasy football this year and watch my team get screwed again, but that's another matter. I'm not watching. I've had enough. Leftists don't look at anything, anything, and say to themselves, we don't need to go there. Oh, let's leave that alone. It is not a political ideology. It is a religion of domination, and you need to accept that. They're coming for all of it unless you and I stop them. Here's just a few of the recent examples. Kaepernick tweets on July 4th, "Black people have been dehumanized, brutalized, criminalized, and terrorized by America for centuries and are expected to join your commemoration of independence while you enslaved our ancestors. We reject your celebration of white supremacy and look forward to liberation for all." Which is very funny, because I'd like to introduce that Colin Kaepernick to the Colin Kaepernick of 2011, who said this: "Happy 4th of July, everyone. I hope everyone has a blessed day." Amazing what can happen when you start hanging with the wrong crowd. And so what happens is we say to ourselves, okay, so Kaepernick's a dirtball, but at least we have some dudes out there, some all-American dudes, right? Americana, baby. Look, it's not like somebody like J.J. Watt would ever kneel for the flag. Oh, maybe he will. J.J. Watt, quote, "Don't speak for me. If you still think it's about disrespecting the flag or our military, you clearly haven't been listening." And here's what's going on with J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt cares about money. Sure, he cares about football and everything else too. That's fine. But he cares about money. He cares about his locker room. But he doesn't care enough about his locker room to stand up and be a leader and speak the truth. You see, this line that I absolutely laugh when I hear them trot out every time, "It's not about disrespecting America or the military." Let's just be clear about that. Stop that. Of course it's about that. You can kneel at any moment. You choose to kneel specifically at the moment where we honor America. The entire purpose of kneeling at that moment is to disrespect America, is to disrespect the flag. And on top of that, even that aside, Kaepernick has come out several times, as he just said here, and said it's absolutely about disrespecting America. Stop trying to have your cake and eat it too, J.J. Watt and others. You can either be this super patriot, "Look, I'm the best guy in the world," or you can take a steaming dump on the American flag. You don't get to do both. Chris Paul said this: "We're just trying to continue to shed light on the different social justice issues that guys around our league continue to talk about day in and day out. People are saying that social justice will be off everybody's mind in Orlando. With these jerseys, it doesn't go away. The reason I'm passionate and excited about it is it gives a voice to the voiceless. It also gives guys a chance to shine a light on something they are passionate about. Otherwise, they may not have been given a chance to express themselves." Yes, those poor, downtrodden, professional basketball players. Heart has to go out to them. But again, I come back to this. It's more damaging than you think to a society as a whole. It is. We need that escape. Some of what I hear more than anything right now is I feel surrounded. Are we surrounded? Do we have anything? Are we surrounded? And that's why they do it. You are kind of surrounded. Turn off the television set. All right. I have a great new discovery. You see this thing in my ear right here? This is an earpiece. That's so our production staff can speak to me throughout the show. Not only do I have this in for an hour every night while I do I'm Right With You, I have another set that's in for 3 hours a day while I do my amazing Jesse Kelly radio show. What do you think my ears feel like after that? Well, here's a problem. When I'm walking around, I need earbuds in because I consume audio all the time, whether it be music, podcasts, radio shows. I just love it. I finally found some earbuds that feel great in my ear and sound good. I can get off the air after doing 4 hours of media every day and pop in my Raycon earbuds. Sounds like $1 million. I highly recommend them, and they're like half the price of all the other high-end ones. Go to buyraycon.com/Jesse, and when you do that, you actually get 15% off the already great price. And they're just these tiny little things. They're awesome. Buyraycon.com/Jesse. Highly recommend it. We'll be back. Joining me now, our friend from Blaze TV. Her show is The News and Why It Matters, Sarah Gonzalez. Sarah, I opened up talking about, I don't like how we've breezed right past the lockdowns into civil unrest, rampant civil unrest, and nobody's taking into account the fact that we have locked people in their homes for a long time, and maybe, just maybe, that's causing some of the anger we're seeing out there. Is this never going to be discussed?
Unfortunately, no, I don't believe it will be discussed, because in order to discuss that, you would have to have local government officials who would be willing to admit that they perhaps made a knee-jerk reaction in their response to the coronavirus. And I just don't see that happening, especially with, you know, you and I both live in Texas, especially with we see Governor Greg Abbott. He's not even, he's going further and further and further with his mandates, even as we see that the death rate and the hospitalizations, we see that going down. We still see the government ratcheting up their control efforts in this virus. So I don't think that we can talk about that, because I don't think we can get the government to admit that they've done anything wrong in the handling of this in the first place.
What happened to Greg Abbott? Or was he always this way? I mean, look, I've been a Greg Abbott fan. I still think I might be, but I feel like he's lost his freaking mind. What happened to him?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that he caved under the pressure. I think that he caved to the people who are using faux science. And I think that he caved to the fear instead of looking at all of the facts, not just some of them. I also think, in hindsight, I can see now that a little bit of Greg Abbott has always just been kind of satisfying what the people want him to do in that particular moment, and not necessarily as, you know, trying to stand as a principled ideologue. And I think that we're seeing that more and more with Greg Abbott. I'm very disappointed as well. I have been a very, very big advocate of Greg Abbott, but I can't tell you, especially with our friend Chad Prather now throwing his hat in the running, I can't tell you for sure that I would vote for Greg Abbott again.
Oh, I'm voting for Chad Prather. I promise you that much. If the man's on the ballot, I promise you that. Now, why aren't they listening? You and I have had this talk a million times over, but surely they can see what we're seeing now, Sarah. I mean, we can't act like all this anger and pulling down statues and looting and burning, we can't sit and pretend like all this is about George Floyd. Come on now. This is a society that was angry and lonely. And while it doesn't affect me that much because I hate everybody, I know it affects other people not being able to mingle.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And I think that the greatest evidence of it not being about George Floyd anymore is, you know, that they're tearing down statues of Frederick Douglass. I think that in itself, it just speaks volumes about what this is really about. And it is, it's pent up anger. But I think that not only is it being stoked by the coronavirus, it's also being stoked by the left, who is using this to tell people that they're entitled to do these things. They are, you know, that they should be doing these things, that it's okay to feel anger this way. And so you've not only got this virus, and you've got these people who have been locked down, they're out of jobs, they're frustrated, they have pent up aggression. You've got an entire party, an entire political party party who is making excuses for these people and who is telling them not only is it okay, but that really it should be happening. They should be angry. They should be taking to the streets, not just in peaceful protests, but in rioting as well. And so I think that now that they feel emboldened by the whole entire Democrat Party, you know, there's no stopping them. I mean, who is going to stop when they've got an entire party, they've got lawmakers, they've got leaders in America who are making excuses for them? It's truly, truly scary times that we live in right now.
Sarah, I will tell you, it's been hard on my kids, especially my oldest. And my kids are well-adjusted, fine kids. I mean, as well-adjusted as you can be with me as your father. And it's not as if they're losing their friggin' minds, but I've seen it affect them big time. And I can't believe not going back to school and going to recess and getting in trouble and getting dirty with your friends. I can't believe that's even being considered. But Sarah, I'm telling you right now, it's coming.
I completely agree with you. And I actually was just reading a story that's up at theblaze.com right now about Florida school districts who are already coming out and saying we will not support reopening in the fall. They even released, one of the teachers associations released a statement saying that they would not support a reopening of schools that put their students and employees at risk of illness, hospitalization, or death. And I have to wonder, who are these idiots? Who are these morons who are teaching our young children who have no idea that from the day they set foot in that classroom, they were exposing themselves to illness every single day? The day that the students set foot in the classroom, they are exposing themselves to all sorts of illness, most of which are a lot more severe in the younger population. So I have to wonder, who are these teachers? Where are they getting their information? Why are they teaching our young people? And, you know, at the end of the day, it is really sad because I think that our children in this generation are going to have some devastating consequences of being locked up for this amount of time if we don't get these schools open.
No, I agree. Sarah, I also talked a little bit about sports tonight, and I don't know what kind of sports you watch, ballet or whatever it may be, but I like sports, but even people who don't, I think sports are an important outlet for the country, and that now that the left has taken over that too, and every athlete has to be an activist, and every league has to put out a statement, I really genuinely think it has a negative effect on the country as a whole.
I would completely agree. And I would love to see, hopefully this year, I'm hoping this year, that it actually hits all of these sports organizations in the pocketbook. Because I think that we've seen it not happen in the past. Although we do have ESPN, who you see the more and more they focus on social justice topics, the more they focus on political topics, the lower their ratings go. You would think that they would learn from that, but they don't. They keep doubling down. I'm hoping that sports finally learns in the same way, that once it finally affects them in their pocketbook, that they will finally step back and say, okay, the people are actually watching this because they want an escape from what's going on in real life, not because they want every single sports figure to have a political opinion about something. And hopefully then, and only then, will the pendulum swing back and we can stop hearing what all of our favorite sports figures have to say about every social justice issue out there. Because quite frankly, I really don't care what they think about it. I just want to watch them play.
Well, are they though? Are they going to suffer financially? Because as you said, we have failed on that time and time again. Either we're too lazy, I've got to have my NFL, or we feel like, I hear this all the time from people on the right, as if that's beneath us to stop doing something. And I've been frustrated, even though I've been guilty of it in the past, I've been frustrated by people not being willing to punish these people financially. Are we just going to go right back and say, oh yes, Colin Kaepernick, throw the football for me?
I mean, I'll tell you this much. I did see a lot of people who, and I have to admit, I'm guilty of it too. I still watched the NFL last season. I couldn't stand the kneeling. I couldn't stand the discussions about it, but I still watched it, and I was very upfront and transparent about that. I watched a little bit of the NBA, however. I, along with a lot of people that I know, will not be watching the NBA this season with their new announcement to paint Black Lives Matter right on the arena, to have social justice messages on the shirts. And I think that the farther and farther that these professional sports organizations go, I think that's when we'll start seeing it. I think the NBA has already hit it. I think that hopefully they have already hit their mark. I'm not sure on the NFL, though. I think that that is going to still take some time. But, I mean, we'll see. We'll see, because if they still have farther to go, that means they haven't reached full crazy level yet. So they've still got a little bit more room to grow. Now, don't get me wrong, I am a cynic, and I do believe that they will get there. But once they get there, I have faith that the American people will throw up their hands and they'll be done with it.
The news and why it matters, Sarah Gonzalez. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Well, sports may not be an outlet for you anymore, but Ebb Sleep can give you sleep. It's worth something, right? I know that's not great. I know you want to get up and you want to play your fantasy football or watch your NASCAR, but look, if we don't have anything else, at least you have one third of your life in bed. You can spend it resting peacefully with an Ebb Sleep on. You see, an Ebb Sleep, it's not drugs, it's wearable. You put it on your head, it applies precise, continuous cooling to your forehead area, putting you asleep fast, it puts me asleep fast, and keeping you asleep. You can try it risk-free for 60 days. Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. When you go there, don't forget to use the promo code Jesse. Get yourself $25 off. We'll be back. Joining me now is current Dean of Business at Liberty University and former GOP Congressman Dave Bratt. We haven't talked to the Congressman in a while. Congressman, before we get into all this other garbage out here right now, I'm genuinely curious, having eaten in that cafeteria a couple times myself, one of the congressional cafeterias out there, it had something you loved to eat, I'm assuming. What was your favorite thing there? Was there like a chili mac or something?
Yeah. Yeah, there was. There was their famous white bean soup. That's their 100-year historical thing. It was good. It had salt in it and then chili. And then your listeners may be interested to know that my leadership and the Republicans never gave me any money, and they wouldn't put me on any committee because I would believe in free markets and, you know, America and all that kind of thing. And so the only thing they could do, the only leverage they had, they kicked me out of the dining room, the members' dining room, for a few weeks.
How exactly does one get kicked out of the dining room? Do they stop you at the door with security? Do they tell you you're not allowed to come back?
Yeah. No, I made a reservation. My office, I said, hey, will you grab me lunch with Congressman so-and-so? So they called and they said they don't have any tables. So I walked down there and the place is empty.
I'm so glad I asked about this. Thank you, Congressman. And I must say, white bean soup, you really do look fantastic for being 90 years old. But moving on, I have been a little bit, to put it mildly, disheartened by what I've seen from congressional and Senate Republicans recently when it comes to being unwilling or unable to change the narrative nationally. I see so much of this, Congressman, and I don't want to blast anybody by name, say maybe personal friends of yours, but we got senators out there talking, well, I mean, maybe we should change the conservative monuments and things like that. I'm fine with having that conversation, but not at a time where you're burning down cities. That's not a negotiation. That's a hostage situation.
Yeah, right. I agree with you. You can name any names you want. I'll probably name them with you. That's why I got kicked out of the cafeteria. It is a serious issue. There is no messaging. I can explain why. It's just self-preservation.
Explain.
When you have the entire media against you, which you do, right? I had rallies and marches and protests in front of my house. I was the most nondescript guy. I taught ethics and economics for 20 years in college. Everybody liked me. And then 2 years later, you're blah, 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 every bad name in the book. And the press can just create a new image. And everybody knows that. President Trump is the only guy who's got the bully pulpit, bullhorn loud enough to overwhelm the press. And so a lot of the folks just know if they speak out, it starts with, you know, in my case, with the Washington Post, and then the local paper does a little dance with them, and then the New York Times makes the headline, and then every smaller outlet covers it, and you're toast. And so that's a little bit of why, but that's because we haven't spoken out, and we've already lost too much of the country because we don't fight back. And the left has learned they can get away with that kind of behavior. So you got to step up and fight before we lose the whole country.
Why haven't we realized that? You realized it, but why haven't more? Is it really that intimidating to have press people, you know, holding a mic in your face and screaming in your face as you walk from your office down to the cafeteria, which you haven't been kicked out of yet?
Yeah, no, that's not the bad part. I enjoyed that part. The press is all a bunch of 30-year-olds. I used to yell at them and say, go study harder, right? You don't know what you're talking about. So I had fun with it. But then the left, they get pretty nasty, right? They start going after your business friends and after your family. And I got kids. And then they start, you know, the lengths they go to, I'm not exaggerating, right? They fight really bad. They right now they're canceling people. That sounds trivial until you lose your job from it. And a friend of your friend loses a job because they know you. And then someone in the health industry loses their firm. And then someone in the advertising industry loses their firm. And then they can't, you know, so that's what we're talking about here. The Marxists, they have these tricks of the trade they use, and they fight to win. They're taking real estate, right, in Seattle and Kentucky and University of Chicago. And then our side just, you know, writes white papers and say the left contradicted themselves. Well, duh, you know, I mean, we know that. They're taking ground, and our side needs to fight back, or our culture will get canceled.
Congressman, I have this, I don't know if you want to call it a theory, a thought, that conservatism has failed. But look, it has. Government's only grown for 100 years. Conservatism has failed, and it failed because there's no offensive mechanism in it to what you just talked about. There's just leave me alone, just leave me alone, just leave me alone. Well, that doesn't work if the hordes are trying to battle down the gates. What is our offensive mechanism? What can we do?
Yeah, well, we've got one offensive system, and it's called President Trump. And I think he got elected for that reason, right? He's the billionaire that is not political. He's not ideological. Irony of ironies, he was probably, you know, kind of a Democrat from Manhattan. He had friends of every stripe, every background, every whatever, right? It's just a joke to be calling this guy all the names in the book, right? Racist and sexist and all. It's just a joke. I mean, he might be brash, but he's none of the above. He's none of the other nasty stuff. And he fights like the left does. He never backs down. He just wakes up every day and goes and goes and goes. And we ought to take a page from him, his leadership, because we're fighting for something that's good, right? And so, you know, Tucker Carlson lately has also been on a roll. He's been solid. And I think his analysis is right. The Judeo-Christian tradition, Americans are basically nice people. They cannot fathom what the CCP is, right? An atheist, totalitarian Chinese regime. They cannot fathom who Marxists are, right? If you threaten to fight back with China and it might hurt their people, China says, whoop-de-doo, have at it, right? We don't care if our people suffer or whatever. So you're fighting an asymmetric, imbalanced war against enemies who are just evil. And that's what it is. They are evil. We don't like saying that. But that's, we're fighting evil across the board. People that don't care about innocent life, and now we got murders across Chicago and New York City and shootings, and it's pretty bad stuff, and we better get our act together soon.
Jeez. As much as I love it that you're at Liberty University, we might have to get you back to Congress. Former Congressman Dave Brat, thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Hey, Jesse, thanks for what you do. Thanks, brother.
Appreciate you. He's right. Let's grow up. You and I have had this talk before. It's time to accept the nature of what we're facing. You're not facing yourself with a slightly different political ideology. You're facing somebody who wants to eat you alive. Let us conduct ourselves as such. All right, we got a chicken wing master. Hang on. Couple quick notes before we get to the chicken wing master. Allow me to give you some wisdom you're going to carry from this day to the rest of your life. The best side with chicken wings is not carrots and celery. It's not fries. It's not chips. It's none of these things. The best side with chicken wings is garlic bread. Then when you're done, You can take all the blue cheese or ranch and the buffalo wing sauce that's all mixed together, and you take the garlic bread and you sop it all up and you just stuff it into your mouth, and it's glorious. That's one. Two, everybody knows you have to agonize over which wing to grab. Of course, the drumsticks are easiest to eat. No question about it. You can go one hand on a drumstick. You just do the little turn thing and you eat. The other ones, more difficult to eat. The meat's a little better. But then you have the little bit in the middle and you're stuck trying to stick your tongue through it and you have to gnaw through it. And if you're on a date, then you look like an animal. This man, though, has solved that little problem for us.
The only way to eat a flat, if you're doing it any other way, you're wrong. Push down. All right, see it? Little meat umbrella. Dip. Peace.
That man is a genius. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? Usually my drink was give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.